Thank you, Angela, for your introduction and your prayers. It's a wonder you can't hear my heart boom, 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 where you're sitting. No, it's lovely. It's a privilege to be here this morning. When Stevie phoned and asked me a month ago, gave me 3 dates and asked if I would speak in one of these dates, and I went back, I'll do the first one, that gets it over with, and he came back, you've got a real sense of humour. And prior to that, for a good number of weeks before that, the scripture had been going over and over in my head sometimes, and I was meditating the scripture, and it would come back to me again, and I knew instantly that that's why God had put this in my heart, that this is what I had to speak on. So this morning, we're reading from Psalm 40, the first 3 verses. You'll be familiar with it. Psalm 40, the first 3 verses. And it's a psalm of David. And it says this, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet upon a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God, and many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. And I think it's the New Living Translation says, he lifted me out of a pit of despair as well. That's the translation there. And as I say, it's a psalm of David. And these few verses, I think verse 1 to 10 I was reading, were written when David was in exile. And it starts by David telling us of when God answered his prayers, but it was after a time of waiting. It doesn't tell us how long he waited, but I think it was considerable time. Because as I read and studied this passage and meditated on it, and David is giving the strict impression that he was waiting and waiting and waiting God to answer. And if you look at some of the Psalms of David prior to Psalm 40, you'll get some idea of what he'd been praying for. But I don't know about you, I love that. This verse really captivated me, because if you like reading, as I do, you want the first line of that book to grab you, don't you? To just grab you and you want to read on. And this is what this psalm does for me, that I waited patiently, Lord, and you think, well, what were you waiting patiently on? And if you look back, and if you go back, I went back to some, I'm going to give you a quick race through some of the Psalms here. So bear with me. Psalm 5, 1 to 3, David cries out and he says, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. In the morning, O Lord, hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you. He's waiting in expectation, and there's no doubt in his mind that God will eventually answer. Psalm 6, verse 2 says, be merciful to me, O Lord. Save me because of your unfailing love. So again, he's crying out his heart to God. Psalm 13, 1 to 3 and verse 5 says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How many times have you prayed that? How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? You can hear his despair in this one, can't you? Really hear the cry of his heart. How long will my enemies triumph over me? If you know the story of David, I mean, it was quite a story. And battle, running away and hiding, all these things. Stevie mentioned it the other week, actually, all the things about David, and yet he was a man after God's own heart, it says. Psalm 22, no, sorry, I'm jumping here. And how long will my enemies triumph over me? But then verse 5 says, but I trust in your unfailing love. Psalm 18, verse 6 says, in my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to the Lord for help. So again, it's going on and on. He's crying out, and he's crying out to God for an answer. Psalm 22, 1 to 2 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he really is in despair. Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry out to you today, but you do not answer. Then Psalm 27, verse 5, for in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. David's starting to encourage himself in the Lord. Psalm, 1 Samuel, verse 30 says, his wife, all their family have just been kidnapped. You know, they're going to save them. And the verse says, and I love this verse, David strengthened himself in the Lord. Psalm 31, verse 2 to 3 says, turn your ear to me, come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Be merciful to me, O Lord, because I am in distress. But verse 14 says, but I trust in you, Lord. I say you are my God, my times are in your hands. Even out he's crying in despair, David still recognizes that God's there. He's just not getting the answer he's needing at the minute. Psalm 37, verse 7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Do not abandon me, O Lord. Come quickly to help me, O Lord, my Saviour, he cries out again. And then Psalm 39, just the one previous to what we're reading, he says, hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Do not be deaf to my weeping. He really is. He's really, at the end of himself, he's crying. But you know, David is very specific what he prays for. He leaves the Lord in no doubt what he's praying for. He's very specific. And in the midst of his prayer in deep despair and anguish, he also praises God. He's persistent in prayer. And he's waiting patiently in God to answer. He cries out to God. He declares his word. You know, this morning, as I was getting ready, early in the morning, sitting up in bed reading my Bible at 5 o'clock this morning, I was thinking all about this. And right in the middle, the words of Psalm 23 came to me, because right in the centre, between one and, well, not quite in the centre, those that are going to pick me up my maths, between 1 and 40, Psalm 23 comes into it. And it's the most well-known psalm, probably most spoken out psalm ever. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But it was this bit, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Yeah. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, we don't like to be made to do anything. We don't. I mean, you ask a child, I'm making you do that. No, you're not. You know, you're not making me do anything. And that really struck me this morning, because, you know, God is making David lie down in green pastures. And he's, you know, and that waiting, you know, that he restores his soul, you know. He spreads a table before him in the presence of his enemies, because David's in a battle, so he makes that table before him. You know, the word waiting or waiting is mentioned 139 times in the Bible. So God wants us to get our attention here. He's got something to say. And you know, in today's society, waiting is fast becoming an alien concept. Nobody wants to wait in anything. They don't, you know, waiting is becoming, you know, the... You don't even wait while you're trying to drive your car. You know, if you're not off at the traffic lights, you're getting somebody, you know, blaring their horn at you. And society is running at an incredible pace. And to me, I was discussing this with my son out walking one day, and he said, you know, Mum, he said, our brains were never meant to take the amount of information that we get bombarded with every single day. We're not meant to have that, all that information coming at us. We can't process that. And at the touch of a button, we have access to the World Wide Web. We have access to the news and the television from all over the world. Instant messaging. TikTok, well, I don't know what that is, but you know, I've heard it. WhatsApp. Yes, that's right. WhatsApp, email, all of that. Instantly, we connect with people. You don't do letters anymore. Well, some people do. Nice to get a letter in the post. You can even get your shopping delivered within an hour now. Can you imagine? You've forgotten two things when you went to the supermarket, email, press the button, and somebody delivers it to your door in an hour. We're not used to waiting any longer. We just don't wait. But you know, when God says, he makes me lie down, you have to stop. God wants you to stop and wait on him. God wants you to stop. And biblical waiting is the exact opposite of what I've just described. And the word wait means to hope, to anticipate, and to trust. Now, we've heard that word a lot in recent weeks, to trust. One writer wrote that I read recently, said, to hope and trust in the Lord requires faith, patience, humility, long-suffering, meekness, endurance to the end. Stevie's mentioned that the other week there about, you know, the fruits of the Spirit. Jamie Tong mentioned it last week, that that's what he was praying for. More, that the Lord would still more of the fruits of the Spirit so that people would look at him and see God at work in his life. But when God says wait, he never tells us how long. He never tells us how long. And I read this recently as well. It says, as humans, we crave control, yet waiting pulls that from our grasp. That is so true, isn't it? As humans, we crave control, yet waiting pulls that from our grasp. We like to think we have it all together. We like to think that we have everything under control, when sometimes we have absolutely nothing under control, do we? Everything. I'm reading a book at the minute, just kind of getting into it. It was a gift for Dion, and it's Tyler Staton, who's a young preacher in America. And he's now director of the 24/7 prayer movement that was started here by Pete Gregg 20-some years ago. Many of you have heard of that. And he wrote a book called Living Like Monks, Praying Like Fools. Absolutely brilliant book. Brilliant book. And he says this, hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life. Why? Because hurry kills love. Hurry hides behind anger, agitation, and self-centeredness, blinding our eyes to the truth that we are God's beloved, and she's sister and he's brother. Now, Jesus was intentional, and yet he was equally interruptible. Jesus was never hurried, but we hurry for the one thing to the next. Even our prayer life, we hurry through it. We hurry through it, and God's saying, wait, wait in my presence. I'm not going anywhere. Wait on my in my presence. When God is silent, you ever been there when God is silent? Sorry, wait a minute. I wondered, that didn't make sense to me. I've went to the wrong page. I should have. Sorry, I'm thinking that's the last bit. What am I? I've got them numbered. Wait a minute. Sorry. That's one. That's two. Right, that's two. Right, that should have went behind here. Sorry. You'll know I don't do this often, don't you? Oh dear. Look at them. I don't. You know, my hat goes off to Stevie. That's one. That's fine. I've done that. And that's two. So I'm at page three. I should be at page three. Oh, dear. Right. I'm back on track now. Sorry, I'm back on track. When heaven is silent. I don't know if you've ever been there. I was many years ago, I think it's 20 plus years, heaven was silent. And it was for a prolonged period of time. And at that time, I was in leadership in the church here. And I was used to hearing words, speaking words, and heaven went silent. And it was a difficult time as well in my own life, etc. And I was desperate to hear God's voice. Desperate to hear God's voice, but heaven was silent. And he was silent for a long time. And that verse helped me. David strengthened himself in the Lord. So I started proclaiming God's word. I started speaking out the promises he'd given me, all the verses. I will hold you my victorious right hand. He never leaves me. Never. I did all that. And yet I really struggled. There were some days I really struggled because I was so desperate to hear God's voice into that situation. And I was asked to speak my testimony. You remember when we'd watch night services and hug my knee? And I remember speaking about this, that heaven was silent. And a couple of days later, Stevie sent me a text message. And it was Oswald Chambers, you know, Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. I don't know if you've done that daily reading book. Fantastic, fantastic daily reading book. And he shared this. And I'm going to read out, if you bear with me. Now, I've got that somewhere. I did have it. I mean, I copied it out this morning because I've got it in my phone. And I can't find it. Have I left it in that? Right, wait a minute. Excuse me, but I'm going to get my phone out. Here we go. God's silence, then what? And the verse of scripture that he uses is John 11, chapter 6. When he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. And this was an absolute revelation to me when I read this. This completely changed my attitude toward this period of silence. Has God trusted you with his silence? A silence that has great meaning. God's silences are usually his answers. Just think of those days of absolute silence in the home of Bethany. Is there anything comparable to those days in your life? Can you trust God like that, or are you still asking him for a visible answer? God will give you the very blessings you ask if you refuse to go any further without them, but his silence is the sign that he's bringing you into an even more wonderful understanding of himself. Are you mourning before God because you have not had an audible response? When you cannot hear God, you will find that he has trusted you in the most intimate way possible. And that's the bit that Stevie sent to me. And that completely blew me away. It completely changed that period of time for me. When you cannot hear God, you will find... When you cannot hear God, you will find that he has trusted you in the most intimate way possible with absolute silence. Not a silence of despair, but one of pleasure, because he saw that you could withstand an even bigger revelation. If God has given you a silence, then praise him. He is bringing you into the mainstream of his purposes. The actual evidence of the answer is in time is simply a matter of God's sovereignty. Time is nothing to God. For a while you may have said, I asked God to give me bread, but he gave me a stone instead. He did not give you a stone, and today you find that he gave you the bread of life. A wonderful thing about God's silence is that his stillness is contagious. It gets into you, causing you to become perfectly confident so that you can honestly say, I know that God has heard me. His silence is the very proof that he has. As long as you have the idea that God will always bless you in answer to prayer, he will do it, but he will never give you the grace of his silence. If Jesus Christ is bringing you into the understanding that prayer is for the glorifying of his Father, then he will give you the first sign of his intimacy, silence. That was a revelation to me. I absolutely loved that. And if you're in a period of silence, then praise the Lord for it, because God's doing something amazing in your life. You know, on Tuesday I was out walking. I left all the papers. I sent to the kitchen table trying to get this together, and I thought, need to get out. I went out for a walk. And as I was walking, I was praying. And then I said to the Lord, I was thinking about this period of silence again. And I said to the Lord, would you remind me, Lord, what had been the purpose of this long period of silence? And immediately... I've only ever had this one time before when it was almost an audible voice. It was so strong, so quick. And he said, I was working all things for your good. That was the answer I got. Lord, what was the purpose again? Please remind me, I was working all things for your good. You know, the period of silence changed me. It changed me. And my prayer life after that was never the same. It was never the same. And Jesus, you know, Jesus also knew God's silence. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew God's silence, where he was praying and he was pleading, and heaven was silent. So we're not alone in our silence. God is always at work on our behalf. And Peter Hall, mentioned that, you know, when he was here the other week there. He knew in his circumstances that God is always at work, even when we can't see him or hear him. He hears every cry of our hearts, every tear that falls. And he just wants us to trust because he is sovereign. We need to learn to wait upon him. You know, I love a gospel duo called Shane and Shane. I don't know if any of you heard them. From the States. They're not related. Both their first names are Shane. That's why they're called Shane and Shane. I've got about four of their albums downloaded on my phone. And they wrote a song last year called You've Already Won. And they dedicated this to the Ukrainian pastors, and it's lovely to have our family from Ukraine. They dedicated to this to the Ukrainian pastors who are left in Ukraine, you know, trying to build their church and meet the needs of their people. That's a fantastic song. Look it up if you have not heard it. And it says this, and it really fits in. I'm going to read the first two verses. There's a peace that outlasts darkness, hope that's in the blood. There's a future grace that's mine today that Jesus Christ has won. So I can face tomorrow, for tomorrow's in your hand. All I need you will provide, just like you always have. And the chorus says, I'm fighting a battle you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. Don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. And I'm fighting a battle you've already won. There's mercy in the waiting, manna for today. And when it's gone, I know you're not. You are my hope and stay. When the sea's raging, your spirit is my help. He will fix my eyes on Jesus Christ. I'll say that all is well. Oh, I know that all is well. Sarah didn't know what I was speaking about today, and she's put in it as well with my soul, and that is a direct thing back to that song that they've put in there. I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. Well, these pastors in Ukraine need our prayers, folks. I hope you're praying for them. They don't know what's going on, but they know what God has already done. There's times in your life, there's been times in my life over the years, I don't know what God was doing, but I knew what he'd already done. And a few weeks ago, Beck gave a message in tongues, and Stevie mentioned it last week, and Stevie gave the interpretation, it was about trust. Very powerful word, and about trust. And that same one, we need to trust God more. Even when we can't see what he's doing, we need to trust him more. And then Dion gave a word, and she finished it by saying that we need to start living as victors, not victims. He's already won. God's already won the battle. And then we go on, and and I think over the past number of weeks, God's really been speaking into our church, hasn't he? Speaking into our lives, and we need to listen, folks. We need to listen. And then moving on in the psalm, we read God's response to David. And, you know, God gave David six responses. He turned, God turned, God heard, God lifted, God set, and God gave, and God put. God turned towards David. And turning towards him, he gave him his ear. Stooping down to him, giving him his full attention, he listened, just like a father bends down to listen to his young son. That's what God did to David. Then God heard. God heard all of David's cries. All of these cries are read out. God heard them. And his despair, God heard. And then he turned and he heard his cries. And he did something about it. He lifted him up. He lifted him up out of that pit of despair, and he set his feet upon a rock. He gave him a firm foundation to stand. When you set something, it stands firm. And that's what the Lord did for David. He set his feet upon a rock. And then God gave a firm place to stand, a firm foundation. It's not only his footing that was established, his path in life was settled by the Lord himself as well. It's a picture of God bringing David from total instability and immobility to an established path in life. At the last encounter evening in the church, Stevie ended his opening prayer by saying these words as well. He said, "Lord, tonight set our feet high upon a rock and give us a firm foundation to stand." I nearly fell off my chair. I thought that's exactly what I was speaking. And there Stevie confirmed it again. God's really speaking to us, folks. God's really speaking. We need to stand secure in him. God's already given us that foundation. Stand on Christ. The old hymn writer stated, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." You have a choice to make. You're going to stand firm on that rock and wait in Jesus' answering. Do you know, I was thinking during the week, I wonder how many people are not in church now because they didn't think God was listening and they didn't wait in him answering. I wonder how many people. That's why we're praying for the prodigals, you know, that's why we're praying. Because they need to know that God was listening. They just didn't wait long enough for their answer. And it says, "God put a new song in his mouth, a hymn of praise to our God, and many will see and hear and put their trust in the Lord." David had a testimony. And you know, when we're speaking to people, sometimes we don't want to listen, we don't want to hear scripture or anything, but a testimony, I always think you can't argue with somebody's testimony. David was given a testimony. And we all have a testimony of what God's doing in our lives. And your recent seasons changers the other week there, Marlon had and Leslie had invited Bobby to give his testimony. Now, he gave his testimony how he came to faith. But then a wee bit later, because the special guest didn't turn up, Marlon, didn't they? But they asked Bobby to come up and speak about his dog. Now, Bobby's not got sight, and I asked Bobby last week if I could get permission to share this, but I'm not going to share it because I'm going to ask Bobby, would you come up and just share that bit about God answering your prayer, but not in the way that you expected? Could you? Sorry, Bobby. That was just this morning. I was driving through. I was thinking, do you know, if Bobby's there, I'm not going to say it because I'll get it all wrong. I'll get it mixed up, especially the way I'm going this morning. So, Bobby, can you just come up for a couple of minutes? Because this is powerful, folks. This is powerful. And I think... I'll prompt you. I'll be... You said about getting your guide dog, Bobby, and about how God answered your prayer, but not in the way you expected.
I'm glad I can't see you right now, believe me. This is there's always a silver lining, isn't there? And this is that.
He'll never forgive me for doing this.
Right.
He'll never forgive me for doing this.
No, I didn't mind about it because it was. I said they sprung that one me that day, too. Marlon and Leslie have a lot to answer for. No, it was just, I think I said, Jeanette, that when this happened to me, and I was praying, to God. About my situation, but I thought I had in my mind, I knew what I was praying to God for, I thought I knew what the answer was. I was praying to God to give me my sight back, and that was it, and I kept praying and praying, and I was thinking, God hasn't answered my prayer, and I had to stop and take a wee step back, look at the position I was in when I started praying to God, and look at the position I was in now, and God gave me a guide dog. I've got Jem. I can go out and I can do it. I'm doing more now when I've got Jem than I ever done when I had my sight. I've met more people. I've done more things. I've done different things. My relationship with God's totally different. I don't think it would have been the same if I had my vision, but I think my point was God had answered my prayer. I just hadn't seen it. I thought I knew what the answer to prayer looked like and what it was. God's idea of what the answer to prayer was different. And it took a wee while. When I took that wee step back and realised, you know, God answered the prayer the way that he knew I needed it answered, not the way that I wanted it answered. And it took that wee... And I think that it was that we all need to take a wee step back sometimes because God's already answered your prayer and look to that and grab it and go on with it. And that was a realisation for me, you know, stop praying about that because there's other things you need to pray for here. I've already dealt with that. I've already answered it. And God answered the prayer the way you knew I needed it answered. Yep.
Thank you, Bobby. Bobby, I so appreciate that, because that was better than me saying it. Yeah. I found that so moving, and that to me is a perfect example of God standing somebody firm on the rock. God answering prayer and putting them firm on that rock and giving them a new song. And many will see and hear, because of your testimony, Bobby. Many will see and hear. And that's a prophetic word over you this morning. Many will see and hear and put their trust in the Lord. God doesn't always answer our prayers in the way that we want or ask, but God always answers them according to his perfect will and purpose for our lives. Always. So this morning, in concluding, if God is silent for you just now, God is still at work. Wait patiently and God will give you the answer. Like David, he'll turn and hear your cries and set your feet on solid ground. He'll give you a new song to sing. And remember that we are victors, not victims. God has already won the battle, so be encouraged this morning. And before the band comes up to get ready, I'll ask Sarah if we could sing this song. They'd say, these young ones would say it's an oldie. To me, it's a relatively new song. And it's made me glad. He has made me glad. He has set my foot upon a rock, and I will not be shaken. And just as they're getting ready, I want to read this over the church this morning. It's a prayer from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to the end. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and grounded and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do measurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is worked within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you this morning.
Thank you. prayer. Lord, we thank you for your powerful word in season this morning that Jeanette brought us. We bless you, Lord, and there was so much in that, Lord, that we pray as we go from here, none of it would be stolen from us, that we would meditate on it, that we would contemplate it throughout the week, Lord, and that whatever situation we're waiting for, Lord, whatever situation we're in, we would know that you, Lord, no matter what it is, you work all things together for good. And sometimes, Lord, we might say to you, how on earth can you do that, Lord? But we've heard a powerful testimony this morning from Bobby, and we've seen how you do it, Lord. And we bless him for the power of his testimony and the encouragement that brings us. So, Lord, go with us this week. Go with us in power. Give us peace to wait, confidence to know that you're faithful and that you're working in the background for our good. We bless you and thank you for this morning and for your presence with us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.